Just so you know, this podcast goes to 11.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode number 476 of this here electronic engineering podcast called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. Brought to you by EEJournal.com and written, produced, and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. This week, my friends, we're digging into some hi-fi DSPs. We're talking about the challenges of always-on consumer and mobile devices, and how hi-fi DSPs paired with other Tensilica solutions can take on even the toughest audio processing applications. But before we bring in Prakash Madhapathy from Cadence Design Systems to chat about this and a whole lot more, it's time for a little news you may have missed. Question: what do sea anemones and hearing in humans have in common? Sounds like a joke, right? But the answer may not be what you think. They actually share a common developmental gene. So get this. A group of international researchers have discovered a gene called POW4. That was not only crucial to the development of auditory cells in our inner ears, but also the sense of touch developed in the tentacles of sea anemones. Okay, let's back up a second. Sea anemones are part of a phylum called cnidarians. This phylum also includes jellyfish and corals as well. But sea anemones in particular are the closest living relatives of animals with bilateral symmetry, which includes us and other invertebrates. Why is that important? Well, it all comes down to evolution. Because features shared by both cnidarians and bilateral animals were likely present in our last common ancestor. And an important feature here is actually the nervous systems, because bilateral animals and cnidarians use similar sets of genes in neural development. Okay, back to hearing. The auditory cells in our inner ear vertebrae are called hair cells. Sea anemones also have hair cells. Although they do look similar, they are actually used to sense the movements of their prey. Previous to this new research, we knew that this POW4 gene was crucial to the development of hair cells in mammals. But no one had considered how this gene affected the evolution of sea anemones. But when this team took a closer look at this POW4 gene in sea anemones, they found something quite unique. This gene actually causes an abnormal development in the tentacle hair cells. But it does turn on a different gene called polycystine 1. So why is that important? Well, because it shows that this POW4 gene has a very ancient role in the development of touch sensation that goes back at least as far as our last common ancestor with sea anemones. Author of this study, Nagayasu Nakanishi, explains the relevance of the study like this. He says, "This study is exciting because it not only opened up a new field of research into how mechanosensation develops and functions in sea anemone, which has ample potential for novel and important discoveries, but it also informs us that the building blocks of our sense of hearing have ancient evolutionary roots dating back hundreds of millions of years into the Precambrian." Wow. So, if you want even more information about this study, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com. All right, it's time to bring in Prakash from Cadence and talk all about hi-fi DSPs. Hi, Prakash. Thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
Okay, so we're talking about Cadence's Tensilica Hi-Fi 1 DSP today. But before we get started, Prakash, always-on use cases are growing daily, it seems, for a number of different consumer and mobile devices.
So Prakash, what are some of the challenges that you see consumers are encountering with these new and emerging applications?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's actually a variety of always-on use cases. So what consumers face depends upon the use case. So let me go through a few, and hopefully that'll touch upon what you're looking for. So for one, consumers are looking for more convenient ways of interacting with their devices, and voice as a medium is gaining popularity. People seem to be gravitating towards devices that offer voice commands, including things like washers and dryers and microwave ovens. If they offer a voice command, that's something that consumers seem to like. They want that, and they always want their devices to be ready to listen to them all the time. But if that drains battery life faster, that's a problem for most people. Now, another use case is the data security with laptops. So you're in a public place and you walk away from your laptop, even for a short time, and someone could snoop in on it. Or worse still, they could even hack your laptop. So there's a need for an always-on sentinel that could detect if you're in front of the laptop and automatically lock it if you walk away. So the system needs to look out for us. We can't depend on us to protect ourselves all the time. But it's got to do that without taxing the battery. Now, a third use case might be mobile, where the screen just stays on for a longer period than necessary. So if an always-on function could recognize the phone's context, is it in your pocket? Is it sitting on a table face down? Or is it in your ear and you're talking on the phone and you're not interacting with the screen? Well, then it can more intelligently manage the screen time and therefore extend the phone's battery life. Now, even with Bluetooth headsets and TWS earbuds, they also want to be always on to provide great user experience, such as if the earbuds can detect the context of the wearer. Am I in a train station? Am I in a busy intersection? Am I in a restaurant? Well, the noise characteristics in all these places is different because the babble that you hear in a restaurant is quite different from the noise in an intersection, right? So, to adapt the noise suppression to the situation that a person is in is a very important use case and a very useful thing that consumers will appreciate. But again, this always-on function has to be mindful of the fact that TWS earbuds have very tiny batteries. So you can't really discharge the battery too quickly just because it's doing an always-on function. So those are the kind of broad areas where always-on functions are growing and the kind of issues that customers are facing.
That makes sense. Now, what do you think are some of the requirements for optimized always-on DSPs?
So, we look at it from first the application perspective. So what do the application need? For example, they want to have always listening mode. So things like keyword spotting, noise suppression, sound analytics, these must be running all the time because you do want to hear strange sounds coming from outside your earbuds, not shut yourself off from the outside world completely if there's something interesting happening there. There's also the always listening or always talking, always musicking use case, as I would like to call it, which means you want to be able to listen to music or talk on the phone and through your earbuds for longer periods of time than what's possible today. And then you also want to have always-on sensor fusion to support the context awareness that I just mentioned. So that's from the application perspective. Now, there are real-life pressures that this always-on DSP will feel when it's being optimized. One of them is that the energy for those active workloads better be ultra-low because you don't want to impinge on the battery too much here. But at the same time, the performance must be high, which means that it must be able to run at very high max frequency. But then for any one workload, you want the number of cycles to be low so that, with a combination, you can run more of those applications in parallel because these are not mutually exclusive applications. You want to be able to listen to music or, at the same time, also be aware of any sounds around you that may be interesting. So those are a couple of them. And then there's, of course, because a lot of the new use cases are taking the machine learning type of role. So the algorithms are going the AI way, so to speak, and some are going hybrid, which means in a combination of traditional DSP and AI type of functions. So you must incorporate machine learning instructions or NN instructions in this optimized DSP for it to play in this modern world. And the other aspect of energy battery is leakage. So it's got to be small because the area is what affects leakage as well. And of course, these are also going into a smaller form factor devices like TWS earbuds, smaller area helps that as well. So you want the weight and the form factor of those earbuds to be tiny, and therefore you do want a smaller area core as well. And interestingly, you know, the kinds of memories that customers use nowadays are very interesting, that they share the memories with other components in the SoC, like, you know, CPUs, et cetera. So reducing memory access can play a big part in how much energy is being consumed by the device. And that's a key aspect that should also be accounted for. So those are the kind of PPA pressure points that the always-on DSP, you know, needs to take into account.
That makes sense. Now, speaking of TWS earbuds, like you just said, at the Linne Fall Processor Conference, Cadence announced the Tensilica Hi-Fi 1 DSP. So how is the Hi-Fi 1 DSP improving the user experience for these earbuds in particular?
In the context of the market situation, there are basically three key trends that are coming together to create a sort of a perfect storm, which is why we created Hi-Fi 1. So Hi-Fi 1, we designed it to sit smack in the middle of the eye of that storm. Let me start with the first one. One of them is the demand for reliability. So one of the pet peeves that consumers have, and you and I feel this, you know, every day when we're on our earbuds, is that innumerable dropped calls and audible clicks due to Bluetooth connection reliability issues, and that's a real pain point. To help with this, of course, there's a development that I should mention, which is a new Bluetooth low-energy codec adopted by Bluetooth SIG. And that's called the LC3, or it stands for low-complexity communication codec. And the LC3 basically is a compaction of the name there. And this LC3 codec is more resilient to dropped or corrected wireless packet data. So if you implement an LC3 on your DSP or in your earbuds, you should actually have fewer dropped packets. That said, the other aspect of this is energy. So what we did was we created Hi-Fi 1 to be the lowest energy DSP for both encoding and playback of LC3. So this again helps, you know, in both aspects. One aspect is, you know, for streaming devices like smartphones, smartwatches, and laptops, when they play or stream the LC3 to our earbuds, they can also be very energy efficient and they can last longer on their battery life. On the other side, the wireless earbuds and Bluetooth headsets, they can also play back the audio for a longer period on a single charge. That basically means for consumers like us is longer talk time and more time to enjoy our music before the battery runs out. The other aspect, the third aspect, shall I say, is consumers are demanding features and quality. They want higher sound clarity and they want more features. So a lot of the algorithms that are addressing this space are going in the AI way. So machine learning is becoming a key part of these algorithms. That's a trend that we recognized early on. So with that, what we said was we should incorporate neural network instructions that run at ultra-high efficiency in Hi-Fi 1, keeping the battery consumption low. And finally, I want to highlight one more key trend is that I talked about voice control. Well, users want voice control even over their earbuds. Never mind that the batteries are tiny. They want to use commands like, hey, turn the volume up, change music track, you know, answer the call or whatever. That's because voice control is so much more convenient. So with that in mind, we actually put features in Hi-Fi 1 so it can run keyword spotting applications at ultra-low energy levels, far lower than any of the other Hi-Fi DSPs. Those are the kind of things that Hi-Fi 1 brings to you know, the TWS earbuds and Bluetooth headset space.
Okay, so Prakash, for the most complex AI use cases or ones with more complex audio processing, for example, how are designers pairing the Hi-Fi 1 DSP with other Tensilica solutions?
So that's a multi-pronged question, Amelia. So let me first state that you know, Hi-Fi 1 by itself can do a lot of things as the only DSP in the system. So you know, for you know, ultra low-cost earbuds and so on, it can be the main and only DSP that, let's say, it runs at low frequency, initially performing sensor fusion maybe all day long, while conserving battery charge and looking for, is the user wanting to do something with the earbuds? When the user actually commands it to play music, let's say through a voice command or through gestures or touch or force or other buttons, then it can enter the turbo mode and up its performance to be able to play back music or, you know, enter a call and at the same time maybe provide some noise suppression as well. So that's Hi-Fi 1 by itself. And we expect that a lot of the good enough earbuds will use just the Hi-Fi 1 by itself in them. So it does have sufficient DSP and base AI performance to handle such lightweight voice commands all by itself and run applications like, you know, ANC and music playback and so on. But then, yes, there will be use cases that will exceed the Hi-Fi 1's capabilities. And that's when SoC designers will have a choice when it comes to the Cadence Tensilica portfolio. So if they need more, let's say, more DSP performance, then they can pair HiFi 1 with, say, a HiFi 3 or a HiFi 5 or even another HiFi 1 for that matter, and it can offload the extra DSP workload to this other HiFi. But let's say instead of DSP performance, they're looking for more AI oomph. Well, that basically means that DSP performance of HiFi 1 is good enough for them, and they just want to increase the AI performance in the platform. Well, we have the right solution there too. So HiFi 1 can mate with our low energy AI accelerator that will give them a significant boost to the AI performance. And that will be the NNE 110, which we also released recently to the market. With NNE 110, you will be able to do more sophisticated noise suppression, support deeper voice commands. You know, that means more vocabulary and even limited ASR, which is automatic speech recognition, and you know, maybe even more complex sound analytics for that matter. Essentially, we have two low energy devices working together. The HiFi 1 is ultra low energy, and NNE 110 is also very low energy, geared towards audio and speech kind of applications. So that combo is basically a real battery winner. Now, nothing to say that the approaches I mentioned here are exclusive to each other. So any combination will work as well, depending on the goals of the SoC. So you could mix and match the extra DSP and the AI boost as needed for the application.
Fantastic. Well, Prakash, I think that's all I have for you today. But before you go, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, a lot of us can't have our favorite foods now because of our lockdown of some sort or another. So Prakash, if you could have one meal right now, it doesn't matter if it's from the other part of the world, you need a passport to get there, the restaurant is closed, what would you have?
You know, I have been salivating for this Middle Eastern dish that I would really love to have. You know, I went and had that at a restaurant a few years ago, you know, just before the pandemic began. And I think that that place has closed down since then. It's something like falafel, but not exactly that. And so I don't know the name of it. That place opens up, I would like to go and find that out again. So, but that's something that I'm really salivating for. And we've tried to recreate that at home, but it's never the same, actually. So would love to go back there and try that.
Sounds awesome. Then I understand about not reproducing it quite right at home. Well, Prakash, I think that's all I have time for today. So thank you so much for joining me.
Great. Thank you, Amelia. Great talking to you.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EE Journal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EE Journal TFM. And don't forget, if you would like to follow my personal Twitter account, check out Amelia D. 1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow me or us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. That's right. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you'd like to further support this podcast, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. It really does help. Also, if you'd like any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology or heck you just want to chat, shoot me a line at Amelia, that's A-M-E-L-I-A, at eejournal.com, or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of April 8th, 2022, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.